morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are. Thank you so much for joining me on Beauty Beyond Vanity. This is Mona Liang, your co-host today. And why I say is co-host, because I have Brad Poirier here.
Exactly, and we're trying something new. So hey, it's B-Rad Celebrity Hairstylist here, your host of the Hairstylist Empowerment Podcast, a platform that allows the voices of the beauty industry to empower with the spoken word. Thank you for joining us on today's show, as I'm also a co-host, and we're trying something new, completely new. Mona and I are trying something completely new. So with my show, I have currently over 57,000 downloads, thanks to you, and on over 40-plus podcast platforms, including Amazon Music, Audible, and Spotify. So what we're doing, we were just on a Zoom. This is what was happening. We're on a Zoom. We're just chatting, getting to know, and Mona suggests, say, hey, why don't we do a podcast? Because we're talking anyway. Why don't we get everybody else involved? So I said, hey, why don't we do a show? So if you're listening and you want to vote, let us know. So we thought, I came up with a name called Fun, Flawed, and Fabulous Podcast. So if that's something you want to hear, and you can see our connection is already incredible already, then we're going to get into it. So I'm going to turn it over to Mona.
Well, amazing. Well, you know, Brad is a new friend to me. And, you know, I actually know very little bit about you. And that's why I think it's so awesome that, you know, it's going to be so fresh. You can share so much about yourself. And all I know is, okay, you put cruise hair shows together, mm-hmm, and lots of podcasts, and you make cop homes.
Yes.
Actually, a dream of mine to make like small little eco villages. And, you know, one of my dreams is to help people find a home. So mm-hmm. I really believe that every human being is the birthright to have a home that they feel safe to go to.
And that's the way it should be. So with me, I've always had green salons. So ever since I started in the hair industry, I've always looked for better products, better things. So better for myself, my staff, and my clients. So in my business, I try to find the best of the best. And being in Canada, you know that it's sometimes difficult or more expensive to get things in Canada than it is to outsource. But I have a lot of friends that are in that kind of green circle environment. So with mine, I first did clean services for my clients, and then cleaning products for the salon. And then also then I went and did, so I joined a group called Project Rejuvenation, and they were about creating a community. I thought, what better way, if you're already doing clean services, clean products, what about clean homes and how sustainable they were? And there was lots of places around the area that I am that were doing straw bale hybrid homes, stuff like that. The thing with doing cob homes is moisture. So if you're in an area that has a lot of moisture or you get a lot of rain, it's not the best because it does take a while to dry out. So I took my natural building training as a teacher, and to build these homes, it's incredible. Not to self-promote, but if you're on Facebook, you can go to Natural Building and Cobb Construction. Go to that group. You'll see some amazing things on there. But it just, because I wanted something more for the industry, something more for just the clients. And clients always get excited when there's something new. And if you're always making choices that are better for them, they're going to love you back for it. What do you think, Mona?
Oh, totally. You know, even using just more natural products in the salon space differentiates me from the stylist down the road. And yes, more and more people are more interested and looking for alternatives. And honestly, I've been looking for a long time and I haven't found too many. I mean, yes, I have found 100% natural herbs with like hannas and indigos and just, you know, those herbs with amla. And they're quite magical, I must say. However, it's very different from the artificial 30 minutes, right?
Yes.
And so I want to know what you're doing in your salon and even what brands you use, because I think it's really important for people to know, like, if you found, you know, some of the answers,
Yeah, so it's great. Like as far as color products, I use OCS. So basically, we were both at a well beauty virtual conscious beauty virtual retreat over the weekend, hosted by Jacqueline Rodriguez, who was an amazing facilitator for bringing a lot of people on. So I really resonated. So with OCS, Organic Color Systems, that is by far one of the best lines. It's in the UK. It's now in the UK. When I started with them, they were in the US. They were in plant in Florida, I believe, but now they're in the US. So always finding products. I was lucky enough to have a lot of my so with the last salon that I had, we dealt with a lot of celiac cancer patients, that sort of thing. So we actually created our own lines and customized them. So which was much better. I also love Malibu C, which is 100% vegan. So, which is a big bonus for a lot of my clients. And I actually was going to educate for this company. They're in France, but it's a henna-based color line, and it's incredible. There's no smell. There's no, you know, yes, it does take a little bit longer, but they're on such a streak of eco-conscious, and the colors are beautiful. They're incredible. And like you said, they're pre-mixed, so it makes it better. So you don't really have to worry. The way you change the color, because you don't use a peroxide developer, is the temperature of the water. So the hotter the water, the warmer the water, the more red tones you're going to get. The cooler the water, the more ash tones you're going to get, because you're not opening that powder up. But yeah, to show it's incredible. The there's so much there, and I think we all have products we like, we all have products, but I always search for I tend not to go for buzzwords, because buzzwords, you can still have organic products with a ton of junk in them. So you have to really know, or you could look in the health food store and they say organic color, but basically it's the same as drugstore color with all the metallic salt dyes and all that kind of stuff. But and then they put one drop of organic oil in it and call it organic, right? So it's kind of deceptive in the way that you think it's going to be healthier, you think it's going to be better for you, but in the long run, it's not. Like, yes, they charge more, but I could drop in organic oil, you know, if I went and ran to the drugstore and, you know, purchase something. But I think we have to really know, what do these words mean? Eco-certified, green, clean, bio, you know, like all those stuff that everybody gets on a buzzword. It's when oat bran was really big. And then oat bran, they put oat. So oat bran is supposed to reduce your, you know, cholesterol and things like that. So they started putting oat bran in everything, in your snacks and your things, and your didn't really make it better. You're still getting all the junk. See, once you put something good in already something bad, it's not always going to make it that much better. Sort of thing. But those are some of the ones that I like. But to me, it's like, do your research, and that's the best way to go. Yeah.
And does it even lighten the colors and everything too?
They
Like,
do have blondes. Yeah, they do have blondes as well. Off camera, we can talk a lot more about it. I'm fully trained in it. I'm a full educator on it. I have the product here. Yeah. I can even
I was just wondering, is it like a normal brand in a sense where people can go to instead of anything else? Like, you know, it lifts two levels, three levels, five levels, or is it more like a henna where it deposits?
This more deposits, but they do have a blonde line. So there's a level one, and then there's a level two. So your blonding is your level two for training, and then your level one is your, if I can turn my camera off for a minute, and if you want to chat to the audience, I can grab it really quickly and show you.
Yes,
Okay,
that'd be
let's do
amazing.
this.
Let's do this. Okay, so I have been looking all over the world and, you know, for these more natural products. And usually, you know, I have to use the artificially good products because it doesn't lift what I want, and it doesn't meet the demands for hairdressers and for our clients. So that's why I been looking. And so, I mean, these brands are closer, and I've used so many different ones that are so close. So at least we can get closer. I figured if we can fly to the moon and Mars and all that out of space, why can't we discover a natural hair color? There's just got to be more, you know, energy and people that put more time into just discovering new things, researching how to make it happen. So that is why I feel like so passionate about this. I mean, I've been doing hair for now over 3 decades, and I'm highly allergic to this hair color, perm solutions, all these chemicals, and I wasn't before when I first started. And all this time, smelling it and everything, I have, the ulcers, the bronchitis, eczema, carpal tunnel, adrenal fatigue, knee problems, like you name it. A lot of these hairdresser challenges, issues, illnesses. There's got to be a way where we could be more healthier and creating, certain rituals for yourself to get yourself ready for the day, the week. All of that is so possible, from your body to what you eat to the products and the chemicals that you use, or no chemicals if possible. I've been searching around the world for these products and people that are like-minded and want the same thing, and I found so many great pioneers. And through that, I actually created a hair documentary called Beyond Vanity. And Beyond Vanity took about 3 years to make. However, the people that I've found have just been just a heart opener and an eye opener. One of the people is Anthony Morocco, and he's vegan. He's been a hairdresser forever. He used to work in New York. And Anthony Morocco, Morocco Method, it's just so amazing. When I went to his house, he invited me for the interview, and he had like 10-story house, looked like a museum. I walked past the hallway, and it's all like aquariums, and inside were crystals. And I'm like, "What is all this? There's no fish in there." And he's like, "Oh, this is the leave-in conditioner that I put out in the full moon, and it's just gonna get energized with crystals and moon." And I'm like, "Who the heck are you? I'm so glad I'm here. It's just so amazing." And he has, yeah, the natural lines for the shampoo, the conditioners, the hair color. And I'm just like, "I really like you already." And he used to be a celebrity stylist and did, Lucille Ball, Nancy Sinatra. And it wasn't until he did the hair for Mrs. Kennedy, and she had cancer. Because she always had dark black hair, that he's just like, "I feel like I'm contributing to her brain cancer." And that's when he went completely cold turkey and stopped doing hair color. And he was telling me that he did not lose one client at all. He was working at Canna Salon in New York City, which was one of the high-end celebrity salons. And I was really surprised to hear that. So when you put your mind to it and you want to go green and go natural, and you're 100% there, you're not going to lose, you're only going to gain.
Exactly. And it's great sharing your story, because I found with the color going in, and a lot of people are concerned, and yes, you will have some people that go, but you'll get more people that will stay. So in relation to color, anything that you're using in the salon, up to 65% goes directly into the bloodstream. So with most ammoniated colors, and what does ammonia do? It blasts open the cuticle. So it works the same with our skin, which is the largest organ. So, and I learned a lot that from organic color systems, which I absolutely love. But this newest one is actually called BioQuaff. So with BioQuaff, you probably can't see, everything's in French, but it's okay. So the way that it works, so they have the color system. Whoops, just so it. The light's going kind of funny, but with it, you actually kind of, you prep the hair first. So you're gonna shampoo it, then you're gonna actually use what they have is something different. It's a hair mask. So this you actually shake up, and it's clay. So the clay draws out all the impurities in the hair, and then with the colors themselves, they actually come in a powder form. So there's a clear. And they have right up from clear right up until black. So they have all the colors there. You can warm it up if you want to add an auburn sort of thing with that. So you mix it. Everything is exactly measured with the exact temperature type. So you're going to need a kettle with a thermometer on it that has the. So that's the thing. It's going to take you about double the time. So you're going to take up to 4. It can take up to 4 hours. So what you're going to do is first fill in the pigment, and then you're going to redo it. And then it takes about 2 days. So you may leave with green hair, but in 2 days, you'll have a beautiful brunette shade. So what it works, so the way it works is once the color is done, it's activated by the sun. So in those 2 days, it's activated by the sun, and that's where you get. And it looks like I've had a lot of sun. Even it's a podcast, you can't see, but I'm going to do this. There we go. Now the red is gone, just like that. So it works the same way. So yeah, so like you said, and I've worked with hennas. So there's henna companies in Canada where you can, you know, get amala, you can get, you know, indigo, you can. So I've had all those for people that are like literally have people that are so sensitive to PPDs that it will send them to the hospital. And you have to be careful, because even if products say PPD free, whatever else, chemical free, make sure that you're not getting another chemical that replaces that.
Like MEA.
Exactly. That can be the same or even worse. It's the same when a lot of the smoothing systems, there was one in particular that had formaldehyde. The thing is, then they said, okay, now our formula is formaldehyde free. What they did is they took out formaldehyde, but they added aldehyde. But what happens to aldehyde when heat is applied to aldehyde? It turns into formaldehyde. So they were still doing it, but then they're like, oh, formaldehyde free? Yes, it is, because it's aldehyde. But as soon as you put your dryer on it, put that heat on it, you see that smoke, it's now formaldehyde.
Oh, so, it's crazy, because, you know, I'm actually very allergic and sensitive to PPD, mm-hmm. Which is the dye molecule and the pigments.
Yes.
And so, you know, for many years, I actually used this one line. Actually, it's from Asia. And it's in such a beautiful package. Looks like a henna.
Yeah.
It's just powder. You may just mix it with water. So mm-hmm. Here I am telling my clients that are sensitive and allergic that,
yeah.
Oh, this is so good. This is so good. Because, you know, my distributor told me that. The manufacturer mm-hmm. told them that. You know, so we don't know, like, who's actually knows what they're saying. But, you know, I just believe my people mm-hmm. That's been selling to me for many years. And yes. So later on, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm just going to darken my hair back a little bit. I don't really ever touch my scalp with color because mm-hmm. I'm so sensitive. I yes. only do very little, and like maybe once a year. So when I did that, thinking that this is all natural, my scalp was burning mm-hmm. for 24 hours, and it was in pain for a week. And I could not believe that I actually was duped, and I called it.
Exactly.
You know, and mm-hmm. I told my clients this, and I felt so like lied to, you know, I was so actually really upset and so passionate about like, we have to find the truth. We have to tell people the mm-hmm. truth. You know, how can I have done this to my clients? Like, I didn't know. Yes, sure, I'm innocent, but I also didn't do as much research as I should have, you know, and of course, always put it on yourself first. Like 7 years later, I put it on myself.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, because I mean, you believe, like, what are they called? Sales reps. So they're there to make sales. And for them, a lot of them may have a hair background, some of them don't. But yeah. Say, just if mixing something simply with water, you think, okay, the water's safe. That's another podcast. But you're mixing it with water, and you think, okay, the water's safe. It's not a peroxide. It's not some type of developer or activator. You know what I mean? But it's what chemicals are inside those powders as well, because everybody goes and they're like, oh, I'm going to buy this henna because it comes in this color, that color, whatever. I mean, the henna itself is the root and the leaves, right? Which basically has a reddish tone to it. So it doesn't really, it's not really blonde, or it's not really that. So they have to add chemicals to these colors. And then people believe that they're getting that, right? They think it's fine. It's going to be this. And, because PPT, like you said, yeah, it's the color molecule. It's most strongest in darker colors, but you want to make sure that if you're going to do it, and because I deal with clients that, let's say, with cancer, that are celiacs, that have bad reactions to PPD, I have to be more than careful. Plus my community of vegan, vegetarian type people, they also want the purest ingredients as well that they can get, that don't have any animal byproducts, that don't have additives, that, and it makes it tough when you're doing research, like right down to, you know, even getting BPA from the plastic, getting, you know, all that kind of stuff as well. We've learned so much. You can tell I'm getting like because I got a lot to say, but I'm going to kind of hold back a little bit. But this is one thing that I think we all need to do. We all need to stand together. We all need to find better solutions, better products. You know, your vibe is your tribe. And I really think you're going to draw like-minded people. So if you're looking at changing to go green, yes, it's a little bit more expensive, but is your health worth it? You know, yeah, is it worth it?
Not either.
Pardon?
Might not be more expensive. Like what I found in some of the hennas that I found, mm-hmm. you know, they actually don't have to take as long either. I found some that, you know, I create a system for my mm-hmm. clients. So it's a different paradigm shift on how you think about hair color. So it's an experience rather mm-hmm. than just in and out. And so I just kind of start, you know, planting those seeds. It's like, if you want to do this for the rest of your life, let's find an alternative to do this more naturally. And these are your different alternatives. And I've pretty well tried so many brands in my life, you know, that you have to wash it twice and apply it twice. You know, mm-hmm. there's the hennas. And a lot of people don't think of henna as herbs, you know, like they're mm-hmm. actually herbs, and henna is just one of them, and there's four. So there's, you know, just for the ones who are interested, you know, henna is more of the red orange. Then mm-hmm. you have the indigo, which is like more of the green blues, the cooler colors, and it combined together, you get a nice brown or neutral mm-hmm. color, you know, still with a little bit of a chestnut warm shade, but very natural. And then there's the amla, which is kind of caramel, but very, very light. And then there's the cassia, which is kind of like a chamomile for the blondes. Mm-hmm. So there's actually many shades that when you mix it together, you can pretty well get most shades. Mm-hmm. And it could be anywhere from, honestly, less than 2 hours up to 4 hours. I mean, I know clients that actually sleep on it overnight. It's not necessary, but when they do leave it on for longer, it just lasts longer. Mm-hmm. You're going to get the colors in 2 to 4 hours. You can get a black in 2 hours, a brown in 2 hours, you know, a caramel in 2 hours. You know, it's just a matter of how long it's going to last, right? And then, you know, some of them don't require you to reapply one more shade, and some do, depending on the shade. So it's actually all possible. And so what I do, you know, for my clients is that I create an experience. What I said earlier is like, okay, so what do you want to learn today? You want to learn how to, you know, eat nutritious? Do you want to have an astrology reading? Do you want to do some breath work? Do you want to do some yoga? Whatever it is that I can provide, or I can introduce them. So during the time, I'm holding space for either astrology reading or a gene key reading, or if you're familiar with that. But there's just so many things we can do so that people know that they're not just getting a haircut. They're having an experience with me and going healthy inside out. And that's adding, so it's so essential. And I'm not sure why I can't hear you right now.
Oh, hold on.
Yeah. So I just feel like it's really important for people to know that there are more natural colors out there that, yes, are artificially good, but they're way, way more healthier. And then there's the 100% healthy herbs that doesn't have to take a day or two. I did do those day or two ones, and that's just hard for clients to live with certain colors, like, you know, say green or copper or whatever for a day. Like, I don't want them to go out that way. So I found some alternatives. That's, it is possible, and I know that there's even more out there.
Exactly. I love, you can hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So I love that you're adding a lot of value to their service, because most people, most stylists are double booked, triple booked. All their assistants are doing everything. Everything is chaotic. When the client comes in, they're shifted around. So it's nice to say, I can offer this to you. What would you like to learn today? I'm probably, any new clients are probably so surprised by that, I would imagine. So what's been your experience with having new clients come in? You're saying, okay, we're going to, I don't believe you say, we're going to do a ceremony for you. Maybe you do, but say, you know, how you can be of more service. So if a new client comes in and you're switching them from maybe a regular salon now to your salon kind of way of thinking and that sort of thing, how do they normally respond, or how do you kind of ease them into that?
Well, that's a very good question. I always like to have a really good consultation before they even make the appointment, because I want them to know what they're stepping into. And that is why I'm called the Conscious Hairdresser, and I create sacred ceremonies. And what sacred ceremonies is a ritual that's special. Haircuts and colors, you know, usually do it every, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, some people 6 months, 3 months, but nevertheless, it's a ritual that you do consistently. And then something that's sacred is something that's special. I mean, having two people in the same room already is very miraculous. And, you know, I honor, you know, my time, I honor their time and their space. And so for me, a special ritual is a sacred ritual and therefore a ceremony. And I just explain it in words where they can understand. And I just feel like, you know, with them being humans and, you know, we're all humans humaning and we're all busy. And this is a time for self-care. So it is their time. It's all about you, you know, during this time. And so that is why I call it a ceremony, because it is a ceremony around you, where you want to go, not just your goals of, you know, your hair, but your goals in life. Actually, I go a lot deeper and I really care about you holistically. So in the Chinese culture, we cut hair before Chinese New Year's to cut off all the old crap from last year, you know, in hopes of a new beginning this year. And, you know, for my clients, I tell them that's kind of like how I started the ceremonial way of doing things. But we don't have to wait for Chinese New Year. You can do it anytime. And especially during, say, you know, like solstice or moon times, where the moon is doing something really special within our bodies that some of us are not even conscious of, but I know there's something happening. And you know what, it could be a thing or not, it doesn't matter. There's always, we're going to create special days and times. Once you're here, it's already that miracle. And that is why I call it a ceremony. For whatever it is. And I actually have names for all my different ceremonies that they come to. So they know that they're going to someone that specializes in what it is that is what they call hair. And, you know, if you have a heart problem, you're not going to just go to a GP, you're going to go to a heart specialist, mm-hmm. right? And so for you, finding that balance with, you know, your hair, expressing your outside with your inside, you know, and evoking your inner truth to your outer appearance. That's kind of what I do and love to do.
Yeah, that's so amazing. And I think whenever we let go, because that's a big thing, is letting go and getting rid of the old, that should be celebrated, because a lot of us just want to hang on to like everything, hang on to emotions, hang on to stuff, hang on to, I know you talked a little bit earlier, but I'm so excited about your movie, your documentary, where you go around, you travel, and you talk to all these different salon owners and what they do and how different it is. What was it like going on that journey with your partner from, you know, from place to place? A lot of the places I love, because I've been, brought back a lot of memories for me. But I think you kind of feel it when you're in Sedona. I don't know. For me, I feel it. Like there's a vortex there, you feel it.
Oh
right?
My God.
And the same when you're Mount Shasta, you're there on below, it's a heat wave, you go up to the top of the mountain and there's snow in the
Isn't
same
that crazy?
Day.
In June?
Exactly. So what inspired you to make a movie? Why did you think a movie was needed for the industry?
Well, it was not really a mind thing that I wanted to make a movie. It was more so I felt like it was a calling. You know, we have been working one-on-one for a long time as hairdressers. And now I feel like it's time to do it in a massive way. And that's why, you know, I thought of a movie. And, you know, in the movie, you'll see I'm walking a labyrinth. And it was a dream that I had a cousin that passed away. And this cousin, actually wasn't a dream, but in the movie, I called it a dream, but it was this true walk that I was doing in Mount Shasta. And I'm like, how am I going to walk the rest of my life while I was walking this labyrinth? Mm-hmm. And the labyrinth is kind of like the metaphor of life, right? And I'm like, I know I'm already, you know, making a difference one-on-one. And I know it's in a massive way, but what is it? If someone's watching over me or guiding me, please tell me in a way where I just know. And I actually really heard the voice of my cousin. And that's why I went to Shasta to begin with, because I was grieving over her and it was only 3 or 4 months. And usually I'm like crying when I'm talking about this part, but you know, it's been 3 or 4 years already actually. And you know, I just heard her voice and she said, you know, Mona, it's time to put your dreams into action. And I was just like 2 seconds later, but I'm a hairdresser. I don't know how to make a movie. You know, and then 2 seconds later, this whole atmosphere of grace just kind of came upon me. And it was just like, I don't need to know how to make a movie. I just trust. And from that day on, I started writing. And I just know that, like, if I feel what I feel and experience what I feel in the salon, you know, that so many clients are going through life, you know, as I said, humans humaning, from celebrations to deaths to illnesses, you know, like I'm the first sometimes to know when people are getting married or having babies, and also the first to know if they have cancer, if they're going to die, you know, or if they're going to go through a divorce, and things that they don't normally tell their spouses, their best friends, their parents, like some of the things we get to know as hairstylists. We have a very special opportunity. And I really believe that we are like earth angels disguised as hairdressers that are doing some really amazing deep services. And even just the transformation is very healing, you know, making people look good and feel good is amazing. We're doing it. And for me, because I am more sensitive and empathetic, you know, in the 30 years of being in this, you know, university of life, I'm learning so much and reciprocating from each other. I'm learning so much and having this amazing relationship that I feel like, how can I serve my client? How can I make their life better? And I know you're the same, Brad. Yes, you know, yes. Every day you're sleeping, you're waking up, you're like in the middle of the night, you're like, how can I serve? How can I serve the world?
Yes, and that's what it is. And I think we're so blessed as hairstylists. Anybody in this career knows it's not easy. It's not easy with dealing with people every day, but we're there to serve them too. We're there to, you know, because we probably know more than their spouse, than their family, than their, you know, like you said, we know when they come in, or if you've taken somebody who's a teen, now they're growing up, now they're going to college, now they're getting married, now they're having their own kids, now, you know, their kids are doing this, now they're grandparents, you know, and we're through that whole cycle in life, especially if you've been doing hair for a few decades, you've been lucky enough to see the cycle. Right, this cycle of life, and then their kids come to us, and their kids come to us, and they recommend their friends, and that, because I think too, we're always, I think with the newest generations too, we're all searching for meaning. It's not just a job. It's not like I need to get something quick that's easy to do, where I can make a ton of money. Obviously, that's fine, but it's not really going to give you, I think, the fulfillment that you need. Money yes helps, but money isn't everything. But also believe money comes through service. The more you can serve, the more money will flow to you, right? And then you have to keep that money flowing as well in other people's lives or serving. The more money you have, the more wage you can serve. But the big themes that I get are a lot about, you know, if there's something missing, it's finding that connection. People want to also, and I talked to Mona about this a little bit earlier as well, is like, it's about letting go. We've been holding so much inside for so long. So have your clients, that you just want to be able to release, just like doing that ceremony and cutting off all that old dead weight or that hair or burning it or whatever kind of symbolizes that for you, is kind of get rid of and connection. We really want connection with each other, with our source, with ourselves. If we don't have that try, you know, the three, the Trinity, and I believe that's what it is, with ourselves, with others, and with our source. And those are things that we need to carry us forward in life, because I think we're only here temporarily. You know, this is a finite amount of time, you know, and that's it. And we never know when it's going to, you know, we're going to unalive ourselves, so to speak. You know, and when our journey is done, but when our journey, I think we just go on to the next journey, but we're on our journey now. So basically, and that's the same with your movie, showing your personal journey, showing your journey of the clients we're on there, and showing the journeys of the hairstylists that you interviewed. As I say, I'd love to, you know, if you haven't seen that movie, sorry, I have to plug it. But if you have not seen that movie, I'll put it at the end, or we'll let Mona let you know where to go in order to go and see it, because I think everybody should. I'm a sensitive person, not an emotional person, but to me, tears were flowing, and it really got me. It got me in the heart, it got me in the gut, and it got me in the mind. So if something can do that, I think it's worth sharing and it's worth seeing. So I'll hand it over to you, Mona, because I've been chatting quite a bit here.
Oh, beautiful. Well, it's interesting when you have a movie and you don't have the rights to it. I actually just got rights to my own movie. And so, yay, it's a celebration. Theconscioushairdresser.com, my website, you're able to see the trailer, you're able to see the movie, you see the ceremonies in there, some of the things I've done. It's kind of interesting, as I journeyed to find Hairdressers Without Borders in Nepal, just these selfless people, that are helping women that's th be through domestic violence, and teaching them how to do hair. They can do hair anywhere in their backyard, in their kitchen, be self-sufficient. Like for me, that was one of the first places I went to. Actually, Sedona was the first place, but internationally it was the first place I went to, and it just like was wow. Like first I had to start in Sedona because I needed almost like that portal to open, with spirit, with the Sedona is like my second home, just like yours. I just know that there's something special there, and it just amplifies. People say underneath all the red rocks is quartz crystal, and everything amplifies 10 times. I'm like, this is a perfect place to start. And plus, I met Lisa Hunter there, which is, one of the stylists that both her parents passed away of cancer, and they're both hairstylists. And she was very sick, and eventually, 15 years, she went back into work using all natural, or at least 95% natural products. Working with her clients, creating experiences and concepts that, they come back to her year after year. And if she can make it all natural, why can't I? So I went on a search to find more pioneers like her, doing things differently than the mainstream. And I so was so hungry to find that. Like, although I have been shifting things, and I still use the artificially good for some of my clients, and I have the alternative where people can choose now, however, like meeting, Anthony Morocco, like he's a real deal, the real, like just he walks his talk, amazing, to Laura, which cuts on in the labyrinth. And Linda DeLaurier, which she is not in the movie. And unfortunately, I didn't have save for some of the things that, and the people that I wanted, because we had 200 hours of footage and we can only fit it in 66 minutes, And so Linda is like a trichotillomania specialist. She's written 7 books and she talks all over Europe about, astrology. She's an astrologist. She's, a homeopathic practitioner. Just so much. She's just full of knowledge that I'm just like, oh. Anyway, I'm gonna create a summit, and this summit will be this year where everyone can watch all the people, even David Premal, one of my most favorite song artists, is in there, as well as her flutist that she works with, Manos, and he brought me to the redwoods and just shared with me like sound vibration. It's and how to just express myself, because part of the movie is, yes, I'm out on this mission and this journey to find hairdressers so I can bring it back to my salon to make it meaningful and healthy. Yet the other part of the story is finding myself and my voice. And before making the movie, I was just my idea was just to find hairdressers and interview them and behind the camera. And my team, they're like, well, you're the best person to tell a story. I'm like, oh no, I don't want to be in front. I was so scared, and I still am. And I'm just like a learned extrovert, right? And so now I'm really practicing, and that's why these are one of my first episodes, for this podcast. And I want to thank you for, being a part of my, the sidekick of mine, because it means a lot to me when I'm just like, I feel like birthing my voice.
Exactly. And I think this is maybe the next level of the journey, or next level, as I say, like trying something new. Don't be afraid to try something new. What we're doing is you're actually getting the bonus of hearing two podcasts at the same time. And nobody's done that. We've had co-hosts, but we've never had like the Hairstylist Empowerment Podcast and Beauty Beyond Vanity, merged together. I hope everybody's learning a lot. Write us if you have lots of questions, that sort of thing. Bring them in. But as I say, like Mona says, there's a summit coming up. And I think what it is being really accountable. And when you have a partner that's able to do that and say, hey, remember when you put this intention out there? Did you follow up on it? So, and say, reach out to Mona, let her know, hey, I'm interested in your summit. Let me get on your list. Whenever you have it, I'm ready to go. And then it's ready to go. And we have some other things in the work. As I say, even if you want to hear us on the fun, flawed, and fabulous, I think that would be great as well. I think we have a journey that we offer. So with my, it's funny because my podcast, you know, gives a voice for the beauty industry. And here you are, you're saying you're finding your voice and you're letting it to. So you're kind of leading into what my kind of show does, which allows the voice for the industry. And I think that's what it is. As hairdressers, we're great listeners, or we should be, but we also have our voice too that needs to be expressed and put out there. And you took your movie, you thought it was going to be one thing, but it ended up being a journey as well for yourself of things that you never thought of. I've never seen more haircutting in a 1 hour movie. You know, you have to watch the movie to see what I mean, but just getting rid of, just letting go, just letting, I was that like, yeah, there's some twisters. And I was so shocked when you took that chunk of hair off yourself, you know, just to say, okay. And it's not like, I'll just cut the ends. I'm going to take like a good hunk and I'm ready to let it go. And there's just so much in the movie. I just don't want to give too many things away, but yeah, I don't know. Me personally, I'm just tingling right now. I don't know
if you see the poster. Thank you.
If you're watching, if you're watching, yeah, it's just, yeah.
I think most of us, including yourself, you'd be able to be blindfolded and cut your own hair because you just know your hair so well. And your hair is like kind of talking to you, telling you, you know, cut me, don't cut me, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it's so interesting to be able to do that so naturally, that most of us hairdressers can do this with our eyes closed.
Yes. Well, and as you say, and listening to your body. There's something called body talk, and the same, like, how many times do you not realize when your body's telling you things, giving you signs, that you're just letting it being overrided by so many other things? And two, because we're one of the few professions where people pay us to touch them. So I think when you touch people, it should be done with love and with intention. You know what I mean? And healing. Those are the three for me that it should be, because they're coming to you. They're vulnerable, especially when they're in a mirror looking at themselves with wet hair at their most quote unquote ugliest for most people, because they want to see, everybody wants to, there's so many filters out there now, but everybody wants to seen as perfect or beautiful or flawless, no blemishes. And here they are sitting vulnerable in your chair. And they're expecting you to now create or bring out the beauty in them.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like, you know, we all will probably have a explanation of what Beyond Vanity means. I feel like Beyond Vanity to me is like, stop looking outside of yourself for answers and validation, mm-hmm. and start, you know, just tuning into what your truth is. You know, and what your own, and find your own beauty.
Exactly. And that's what it is. I think that's what we really need to find. That also almost sounds like a mission or a vision statement, you know, because really that's really what it is. It's finding, beyond the mirror, beyond the whatever is there, beyond the people that talk into your ear. Nobody can really tell you. Only yourself can say, this resonates in my soul. This resonates in my spirit. This is in alignment. This is not in alignment. So remember, what doesn't feel right and is not in alignment, I think you should let go, get rid of, sort of thing. Would you agree, Mona?
Oh, definitely. You know, we hold so much in our bodies that we don't realize. And when we actually find a practitioner that knows how to help us release it, either your hairdresser or, you know, there's psychosomatic release, you know, practitioners as well. There's so many, even massage therapists. Like when you do it with intention, you're able to release. It's amazing how you don't even realize it. And otherwise, you create disease, you know, in your body, you know, and that's a proven scientific thing.
Exactly. And the word disease, because if you break it down, it's dis ease. So you're not at ease with something, right? So it's the reverse of. And anytime I think you're pushing forward for something that's not in alignment or not for you, you're always going to get a dis ease of that, right? It's not going to feel comfortable. It's going to feel, you're going to have these, gut feelings or intuitions or, just something kind of trying to pull you back or pull you away from stuff. But I think we're always trying to discover who we are. And hair, I think, is a big part of that, because hair for people can be freeing. Hair can be a blanket around your face that says, as long as I have my hair, I'm protected, So there's a lot of things that, you know what I mean? There's different types of hair,
You're just reminding me of this course. I'm actually working on a course with Jacqueline Rodriguez, as well as another friend in Saskatchewan, Christina. And it's just amazing how it's called the power of hair. And it's important for all of us to know what is this that's on our heads in our body. It holds so much energy and information. Today, actually, I had a hair analysis appointment, and I had already sent the hair to an analysis person that tells you about, you know, all the minerals that you have in your hair, the toxins and all of that. And, you know, for an hour I'm listening to this guy, and all he did was had my hair, you know, that wasn't colored. And I mean, it just holds so much information, ancestral information, because that's why we are the way, the color and the texture that we have, you know. And then, of course, you know, the scientists can tell you your gender, your ethnicity, you know, your age, and so much cortisol levels, like you name it, medicine.
It can tell your
And
body has cancer before it even has, everything's in there, right?
it's
Everything is
crazy.
in there. You have an aspirin, your hair will be flat the next day, because everything comes through your scalp, right? And a lot of people don't understand that. They think, well, why is my hair? Well, there's always external elements, or putting external elements in. And as I say, a lot of that is with thought process too. You can change, but there's so much more to hair than what people think. So even in the First Nation, so the reason a lot of them have long hair is they believe the length, so longer your hair is the antennas. So each strand is an antenna to the
Yeah, the
outer.
indigenous is one of the ones that also believe that. And then, of course, the Sikhs, they don't cut their hair because they believe that is a gift from God. And that's where all the vitamins and information is.
Exactly. Everything is right in there. So there's more. And say, like, people would freak out. Most people have you said, if I walked up to you in the street and said, let me shave your head, most women would say no. Some would say yes, because it's very freeing for them. But most would say no, because they believe if you shave your head, then you're going to become ugly. But to me, you're not taking anything away. You're just enhancing who you already are. If you're already a beautiful person, after you shave that hair off, you're still going to be a beautiful person. But we're so conditioned by society, by nature, like, this is what beautiful is. Or there's something in your movie that says, how do you get people, you know what I mean? Tell them that, how do you get people to get beauty services? Tell them that they're ugly. And that's the thing, because a lot of people are so insecure within themselves, because we're also insecure, but walking around with all people that think they got all their stuff together, and they're the same, they have the same insecurities that we do. And then we want to always, why are there so many filters on cameras? Why are there so many this, so many that? Just there. But you just want to get back to the core, which I think Mona is about, is getting back to the core. Getting, as I say, with the beauty beyond vanity, when you're sitting at the vanity mirror looking at yourself, who is reflecting back? And I think that's what it is. We have to really understand who is that reflection. Reflection's not real. You are real. But what is that image that you're seeing, and what is it telling to you about yourself?
Well, it's crazy because, you know, in the movie, nobody knows this, but I actually wasn't planning to get filmed with that particular part. It was my own 3-day retreat with my shamanic teacher, where, you know, I just wanted to learn more about myself. And so part of the 3-day was every day for 3 hours, I sit in front of the mirror. No washroom break, no writing, just complete mirror gazing. And let me tell you, that felt like it was like more than 10 sessions of a psychologist or any counselor or coach, because I learned so much about myself. As I said, the answers are within us. And when we really take the time to look at ourselves and really look into ourselves, it's like first it was like all this negative talk, you know, and I could have done this, a better mom, and blah, 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 right? You know, and then eventually after a few more hours, like, okay, I'm not that bad.
Yes. By far, you're probably not as bad as we think we are, right?
Yeah, day two was different, and day three was more like a celebration. It was like, yeah, this is who I'm going to be from now on. This is how I'm going to live life. That's how I'm going to make a difference. And you know, it's so amazing and powerful when we do mirror gazing.
And also, too, it's never too late to reimagine yourself. It's never too late to make changes. Just because you were who you were for 30 years doesn't mean you have to continue being that person just to make other people happy, because that's how they see you. And then you live your own life in torment, mental torment. It's just kind of, don't be afraid to, I think it's just taking that first step. Or as I say, your vibe is your tribe. Find people that you feel comfortable with. Find people that you don't have to walk on eggshells around. Find people that you can just totally. When is the last time anybody was totally free? Like, felt they were totally free? Like, with Mona, I feel I'm totally free. I'm not censoring myself. I'm not thinking she's going to think I'm an idiot because I'm saying stuff that's woo-woo or woo-hoo or woo-hoo. So, you know, and you can take woo. So you can do life and say, okay, that's a little bit odd. Either you can try it, embrace it, or say, woo-hoo, I found what works for me. I found what. The only, I think the scariest part is always the doing part, not the actual action, but it's to get yourself to do the doing part, right? But everything needs action. You know, steps in action, everything requires action. I believe Mona talked about this a little bit on the retreat that we were on. You need action steps. And if you're not willing to take any action steps, because in the movie you asked, this was, I believe, the last client that you were doing, and you said, what intention would you like to set, which is action for yourself, you know, before we start this ceremony, right? And the client said what her intents were. But I think we don't think we really, and I don't think any client has ever been asked, what is your intention or what is your expectation of this service that I'm doing for you, which is totally new. And I think that's why we need to change. And that's why I think this is something important to start right at the school level. Like, get into the
Yes.
schools, how to connect, how to embrace, how to, you know, I think there's so many parts that, and if the schools won't embrace it, then offer something that there's a place where they can go, or like these retreats, or as I say, like the cruise events I do, or as I say, the online virtual events, or the in-person events that Mona does. I think it's important to get aligned. And the nice thing with all of these, they're all intimate. You're not going to be with 500 other people, and then they're saying, okay, tell us your stuff. What's the first thing that you do? You seize up. You're like, because as soon as I say something, people are going to judge me. But what really happens is, as soon as you tell your story, people are like, yeah, I thought I was the only one that felt that way. Hey, that person I can really relate to. I really want to connect with that person because they're just like me. And how many times, and just from being scared, right? And if you take that gift away from those people of hearing your story, you're doing a disservice to yourself and to them. That's what I believe. Monet.
Oh, definitely. And I love to turn this back to you as well as like, you know, you're talking about people and who you choose. Like, how do you tell me more about your cruises and like how do you choose the people that gets to speak on your cruises or, you know, and how people know about it?
Yeah, so every cruise I've been doing it about 7 years. Obviously, during the lockdowns and COVID, we didn't have them, but I think that's what people were really looking for. They wanted connection, they wanted in person, but they didn't really want a huge event. Like there's lots of air shows and that kind of stuff going on now, but with my events, I like them more intimate. So it's not big crowds. Every day that you wake up, you're in a different destination. Anytime you wake up, it always changes your mindset. So, and if you're doing yoga on the beach or you're doing, say meditation, the cruise that we just went on with Virgin Voyages, if you're about sustainability, they're one of the most sustainable cruise lines that's out there. There's no single-use plastics. They offer yoga, meditation, Pilates classes, and like everything's included. So when you're on board, you don't have to really worry about anything. And that's what I want. So when people come on, they don't have to worry about anything. So as far as educators, number one, I have to make sure that they resonate with my spirit and I have a good gut feeling about people. But also with educators, I also have to make sure they can fit into the family or network or, you know what I mean, of the whole entire group. So it's not a, there are a lot of great educators, but they may not be great at connecting with other people. They come to do their thing, they leave. I want people that want to be embraced, people that want to be
Family.
part of it, people that will support like you did at the retreat, Jacqueline's retreat. You were there the whole both days. You could have come, did your training, and then okay, say I'm done. And there's nothing wrong with that. I understand people are busy. But I think for the kind of events I create, it's really about a family because I had someone come up to me and said, they literally said, I didn't know I could come up to you. I said, yes, you can. And you can have a seat at my table. They were so shocked. It's like, you're up here and I'm here. It's like, no, we're all the same. We're all the same. It makes no difference. And of course, they did. I'm going to have this person on one of my upcoming because this person has a incredible story about their journey about transformation. But that's why I'm saying like a lot of people keep it like here's the main speakers, they're way up here, we're just guests. And but they and the thing is the educators really loved it because it was so intimate. They really got time to really get to know the people that were attending. And I think that's what it is. You want to know everybody that's there. And if you don't utilize, and I'm not saying try, if there's 100 people there, try to meet all 100 people, but even select a couple of people who you think you would resonate with and you know, see what happens, like what's happening today on the show. We were both on the same event. We never knew each other prior to this. You know what I mean? We've maybe met once after that. And now today we're doing a co-show. Like how about that? Like which is wild because I could have said, "Oh, I'm afraid. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to do anything." Same with Mona because we're just ch chatting and she's like, "Hey, let's do a show." Or she's like, "Hey, why don't we do a podcast?" I'm like, "Yeah, let's go for it." And here we are. And as you can tell, we like to
I know. I mean,
talk.
gosh, this is an hour, and I'm like, oh, we're supposed to do 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah,
Like,
but we
we
should. We'll
could
probably
be
wrap
talking
up. But if
forever.
you want to hear more from us, then let us know, and we'll definitely create more because I believe the hour, because most attention spans now are like 15, 20 seconds. So if you've listened the whole hour, I commend you. Namaste. You know, but I think like the like with both of us, we have so much to offer, and this is not boasting, but it's about sharing. It's about sharing who we are as people, being real, saying, I cried, I had fear, I'm normal, I'm flawed, we are all flawed. So don't think that we're perfect, even though we look perfect. It doesn't mean our lives are 100%, but we're living, I believe, I can't speak for Mona, but I believe we're living our best lives, or we're making choices to live our best lives. How would you like to continue, Mona?
Well, you know, it's interesting when you say best lives, because like, you know, yeah, I feel like, you know, life is great. I just feel like our maybe if you want to call it society, has always told us, you know, we need to be the best or be better. And so when we get to a pretty good place, it's like we still need to get better. So sometimes I don't feel like I know when to stop. So, you know, most of us feel like we're just never going to be enough. So I now tell my clients and my friends, like, you know, let's just have a better day than yesterday, or, you know, let's just feel good about today. You know, I don't need to strive for the best. I just want to enjoy and have fun every day and be present and just be in love and just feel the light, because exactly. The light is what is connects all of us. You know, we have light within our body and connected to your light and everybody else's light, and the light that is unseen. There's this, you know, we see the duality, but we are all very, very much connected.
Of course. And that's exactly the way it is. And as I say, choosing the best life, like for me, I set the bar really low, even though you'd say, how can be that? He's got a list of this, of what he's accomplished. To me, if I wake up in the morning, I've already accomplished something. So it's like I woke up. It's good. So that to me entitles me to a great day. If I don't wake up, it's still going to be a great day, I believe. So like that sort of thing. And like you say, be better than you were yesterday. These spirits of comparison, these spirits of what is it? When you always have to be better, you always have to be better. I'm trying to think of it, but it's a spirit that's on us that we don't really need, because nobody's perfectionism. So if you get that spirit of perfectionism on you, that's the worst spirit you can have. And the one of comparison, don't compare yourself to anyone else. And because you're never going to be perfect, so don't get into that cycle. Embrace who you are in this moment. Yeah.
I learned that in Artist's Way. I'm not sure if you heard of that book, but it's like journaling every day. And week three of Artist's Way is about perfection. And I learned, it was such an aha moment that week, because perfectionist underneath that is shame. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And I actually related it back to, like, you know, my Chinese parents, you know, coming home with, you know, C pluses and B's. I'm not an academic. Yeah. I'm more of an artist. And they're like, well, where's the B's and the A's? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the next time I try so hard and I get some B's and A's, and they're like, where's straight A's? Exactly. You know, and it's just like, well, I guess I'm just never going to be good enough. Mm-hmm. And I'm always striving to be better and better so that I can show my parents that I'm good enough. Right.
Exactly. And even with the A's, and where's the A plus? But the thing is, what you're being graded on is your ability. It's not really intelligence. It's your ability to memorize what they're kind of teaching you. Because most of that stuff in school, this is a whole other program, but most of that stuff in school, how much algebra do you use, like, in today? How much, like...
You know, our next one, let's talk about school.
School. Oh, that's going to be a hot topic.
Yes. Education. Okay,
so Mona and I aren't going to release another episode until you tell us that you want to hear from us again. I'm already excited for it. So I guess we'll wrap up. So I'll wrap up and I'll give it over to Mona. So I want to thank everybody for joining us today. So if you want us to continue on Fun, Flawed, and Fabulous, and if you like that name or you have a better name, let us know that too, because we love connection, we love interaction, we love to hear from you. When we post, we'll put an address where you can message us, and then that way we can hear your feedback. But I want to say thank you, and I thank Mona for co-showing with me her show and my show, and I'll see everybody next time, and I'll give it over to Mona.
Well, beautiful. Thank you so much, Brad. I just absolutely am so amazed at who you are and what you're doing. And it's kind of, I feel like you're such a future me. It's like, oh, I've always wanted to do the cob houses and this and that. I was like, you're doing it. Amazing. So I just, I'm grateful to be tagging along with you.
Never tagging along. You're your own pioneer.
Thank you. Well, I just want to thank everybody for listening, and may your day be better than you imagine it to be.